Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. What you don't hear is why Jesus left the region he was in and went to this district of Tyre and Sidon outside of Israel. He went away because the scribes and the Pharisees that had come from Jerusalem to confront him about yet another sin that he was committing, about his disciples eating without washing their hands, because they were persecuting him. He went away because he was protecting and defending his disciples. Jesus had clearly taught that it wasn't what went into the mouth that made someone unclean, but what comes out of the mouth, which has proceeded from the sin-filled heart. That it's the evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander, that these are the things that make someone unclean. Though Jesus was not concerned about it, his disciples were certainly concerned. They saw how the Pharisees reacted. They were offended by the words of Jesus. The disciples were worried because the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Israel, were offended. Knowing these two things from the immediate context of this text will be important for what comes with the Canaanite woman. Knowing their worry, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Since it was not yet Jesus' time to go to the cross, he went away from the scribes and the Pharisees to the region of Tyre and Sidon. This land, this region, has always been inhabited by the Phoenicians, who are Gentiles. He goes to this region not to convert or to seek the lost, not to evangelize or teach the Gentiles, but to avoid the Jewish opposition that wants to kill him. He goes to this region to protect his disciples from stumbling in their faith. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." This is amazing. Not even his disciples address him like this. They have struggled to know and to believe without doubt that he is the Lord, the Son of David that God promised to send. And here is this woman who is not even a Jew, who calls him Lord, addresses him as the Son of David, and yet Jesus doesn't answer her a word. It's hard for us to understand this, but everything that Jesus does should be looked at as teaching us something about his kingdom, even when he is quiet. For her part, though, the woman doesn't give up. She keeps following Jesus and the disciples, pleading with Jesus, asking for mercy. The disciples had been worried that the Pharisees were offended by Jesus' words. But there's no hint here at all that they are concerned that this woman might be offended by his silence or by their trying to drive her away. You see, that's because the disciples wrongly believed that the religious leaders' opinions and their support mattered, but this woman's didn't. Not because she was a woman, but because she was unclean and therefore unworthy of Jesus' time or help, because she was an outsider, not a Jew. She was a Gentile, a daughter of pagans, and because she had a demon-possessed daughter to boot. Just a little while ago in the text, the disciples wanted Jesus to dismiss the hungry crowd. Now the same disciples want Jesus to dismiss this woman too. They didn't learn a thing. When they wanted to dismiss the crowd, Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." When Jesus is quiet before this woman, the disciples are supposed to plead her cause. But they do not. They simply want her to go away. After her constant asking, the disciples finally seem to give in. Instead of just saying no to her, they go to Jesus, but they don't ask that she would be healed. They say, just do this little thing for her so she will go away and quit bothering us. It wasn't about the woman at all. It was about them. To this, Jesus gives another strange answer. He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It seems to confirm in the disciples what they had believed, that this woman was not worthy, that she was outside of the house of Israel. Isn't this offensive to us? Haven't we always been taught that Jesus loves the whole world, that he came to save all sinners? But it doesn't sound like it here, does it? He did come for all. The Old Testament lesson today confirms that for us. We're told that he will bring in others outside of the fold. That's the Gentiles. This is not a new plan. This has always been God's plan. So why then does he speak these words to the disciples? He came to give his life for all people, to die on the cross, to save everyone from their sins. But that's not why he was in Tyre and Sidon at that moment. He wasn't there to be a wandering miracle worker. He didn't come to do tricks, not even at this time to invite the Gentiles into the kingdom. That would come. He did die for them all, and they would be invited. If they weren't invited, none of us would be here today. But he came to preach to Israel first. He came to convince them first that he is their Messiah, their Savior from sin and death. Jesus' answer to the disciples is a setup for this woman and so that the disciples can learn something about true faith. You know that Israel has a unique place in the history of salvation. Jesus is, after all, a Jew. Salvation is from the Jews. And even though the Jews largely didn't listen to him or believe in him, John's gospel says he came to that which was his own and his own did not receive him. Although many hated him and put him to death, still he came to save them. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And yet, here stands this Gentile woman. And she comes up to Jesus and she calls him Lord, Son of David. She pleads, Lord, help me. The Jews wanted Jesus to be silent. They wanted him to go away and stop talking. This woman only wants him to speak. Not long before this, Peter had spoken words very similar to this woman's words as he was sinking in the lake. Lord, save me. And the Lord immediately helped him. So whether it is to test this woman's sincerity and faith or to teach his disciples about true faith and about persistence or both of those things or something completely different, we simply don't know. But even after this woman kneels in front of Jesus and cries out for help, Jesus says to her, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Put yourself in her shoes. At this point, we would either expect the woman to argue that she is no dog and turn around and leave, or just go away in silence. She has been rejected at every turn. First by Jesus' silence, then by the disciples' mocking and their rejection of her, and now Jesus calls her a dog. She should be offended, but she's not. Jesus spoke the truth to the Pharisees and they were offended. Jesus speaks to this woman and she's not offended. Surprisingly, she even agrees with Jesus. Yes, Lord, it is as you say it is, and it should be no different. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. By this Canaanite woman's persistence and with her words, the disciples witness here a miracle, the miracle of faith. They learn what faith looks and sounds like. We should take note and learn also. Their judgment that the Pharisees were worthy of Jesus' honor and that this woman was not worthy was completely backwards. They learned here that faith saves and unbelief damns, whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, slave or free, male or female, no matter what malady you may have. The Pharisees were offended by Jesus when he spoke the truth for their benefit, but this woman was not offended by his silence or even by his hard, and we might consider them rude, words. The Pharisees think Jesus owes them respect, and maybe he should give them a little bit of honor too. But this woman humbly approaches Jesus, knowing that she doesn't deserve anything from him. But she believes that even the leftovers will be enough. Even the mere crumbs will suffice for her great need. And she's exactly right. God is so generous that there is enough for his chosen people to have a feast that lasts for eternity and still plenty for the Gentiles too. How often have we been more like the Pharisees who are offended by what Jesus says than like this woman who simply and persistently believes? We've even been embarrassed for our Lord. We've tried to soften his words because we know that self-righteous sinners are always offended by them. Jesus, just say what they want to hear this one time so they'll quit bothering us. So they'll go away. But where is it written that giving offense by speaking the truth, especially in love, is a sin? Just because you're offended doesn't mean that someone else has sinned. And yet that's exactly how many people act today, isn't it? We are told you have to change your behavior, your beliefs, and your practices because I'm offended by them. Where is charity and love for our neighbor? Is there anyone left who is humble, not always thinking about themselves first? Too often we make demands of God and then are far less than satisfied with receiving what we think are the crumbs. This Canaanite woman must stand for us as an example of great faith. Jesus himself has said, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." She had every reason to be offended, but she was not offended. She knew him as the Lord, the Son of David, her Savior, even though she's a Gentile. You all know people who have been offended by Jesus' words and by his teaching, by his cross and death, and by the cross that he has put on you as well. You all know people who have left the church because instead of charity and mercy, instead of putting the best construction on everything that is said, they have been selfish and filled with anger and offended. And how they feel becomes more important than the truth, sometimes even more important than eternal life. This woman, though, knew God's overflowing love for his people and believed that there would be mercy and help for her as well. Even when God was silent, that's what our office hymn said today too, even when God's servants weren't persistent with her case before the Lord and wanted her to go away, she didn't give up. She was persistent and believed that there was room for her and for her daughter in God's mercy and love. There is room for you and for your children in God's mercy and love as well. Though you have often been offended by what God says, though you have consistently lived contrary to what God teaches, though you mostly think about yourself first, still God is faithful, and he loves you, and he will not send those away who seek after him. Even when it seems like he is silent and has not spoken a word, he has still given his life to save you. He will not condemn those who confess their sins and plead for his mercy. Once again today, the Lord has heard your confession, and he has forgiven your sins. He has heard your cries for mercy and help, And he has not been silent, but has poured his blood over your head and washed you clean. He has marked you on the forehead and on the heart as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And at the font again, he has absolved your sins. He has gathered you out of this world and into his house. He has set a table before you in the presence of your enemies, and he continues to provide for all your needs. He invites you to come. I invite you to come. Come in humility and in the simple faith of this woman. Come and eat these crumbs, believing that they are a full meal for your life and salvation. And as it was for the woman, so it will be done for you as you believe. God grant it for Jesus' sake. In his name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.